Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Filthy Lip Out Golf Podcast with me, Kit Alexander, and John E. Morgan. And joining us this week, wow, hot off an emphatic victory at the Gran Canaria Lopesan Open, we've got South Africa's Garrick Higo in the house. Garrick, European Tour winner again, your second one. Congratulations. You did mention you've not had a lot of sleep in the last 24 hours. How have the celebrations been?
Yeah, thanks for having me so much. I didn't party, you know, like you would expect. But I had a curry with my caddy and two of the other South African caddies. I think it hit me, you know, last night, how big it was. So I guess it's a good thing. I mean, it's such a nice feeling.
I mean, you looked cool as a cucumber with the shades on. It looked like there were no emotions going on. You cruised to victory, bogey-free final round. Did it feel quite that easy in the moment hitting the shots?
No, not at all. It is very stressful. And I think what made it a lot harder was the fact that all the other times that I've won, it was kind of coming from behind. So it was like every hole I was trying to make up, you know, a score to win, whereas yesterday it was kind of new because I've never really had the lead going into the final round. So it was nice in a way because I knew that I had to keep going because I've seen it before how, you know, someone else wins. It's not usually the guy that leads.
I mean, you won with an amazing score, Garrett, but let's talk about the golf course. I mean, the golf course looked pretty firm out there. And when it's firm, it's not easy, is it? And it was windy as well to boot. So tell us about the golf course. Please, mate.
Yeah, it was. The course was pretty easy. Obviously, the scoring was low.
Yeah.
But the final day, obviously, because we've had the whole week on it, the greens were getting really firm. And then the wind came up. I think it looks like a place that is usually windy, but the first 3 days it wasn't windy at all. So, looking back at it, I think yesterday's score was pretty impressive in the wind. But I was just trying to keep making birdies so that I don't, you know, lose. So I actually didn't realize how low I was going, you know.
And what did it feel like with all the other players like ganging up behind you, shooting crazy scores, and you just knew you had to just raise the bar and go for it?
That morning, I knew I was going to have to. I thought 25, 26 under was going to get it done because I knew, well, every day someone was shooting 9, 10 under. So someone from 14 or 13 under could shoot 10 and, you know, be 23 under. And that means I need to shoot at least 5. So I knew I had to keep going. Otherwise, I was going to finish outside the top 10.
That's ridiculous. You went 64, 64, 63, 63 over the weekend. That's the lowest aggregate score for four rounds in European Tour history. Beating did you not? European Tour history has ever taken fewer shots over four rounds in a European Tour event. You're in the history books. How does that feel?
Oh, wow. That's pretty sick. I didn't even know that. Wow. Is it tied with someone at least?
No, you beat Andy Sullivan by two shots. He did it at, was it Hanbury Manor when you were there last year, John? Were you at that one?
Yeah.
Sully ripped it apart. And you were two shots lower than Andy Sullivan was last summer.
That's unreal. How do you guys know that? And I don't.
He's a freak of nature, mate. He knows bloody everything, Garrett. I tell you.
All about the stats.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know that.
Mate, you're in our own Guinness World record, so don't worry about it. It's all good, man. Well done, dude.
I'll try and break it this week, eh?
Good lad. That's what I like to hear.
Well, it looks a similar course this week, actually. So I think it's going to be going low again.
And I've heard it's actually easier than last week because I've heard that there's 6 par fives or something like that.
So, right.
Yeah, 6 par fives, 6 par fours, and 6 par threes this week.
Yeah, that's interesting, eh?
How does that make much of a difference to how you guys approach it, knowing that there are more of those risk and reward reachable par fives? Because also they're not long.
Yeah.
Four of the six are under 540 yards, I think, or 500.
Oh, wow.
So they're gettable as well.
I don't know. I think the way everyone's playing these days is if you don't go for everything and don't try and go as low as you can, you're just going to be left behind, you know? So And it feels like it's like that on even on the hard courses, you know. Even like if you watch the guys on the PGA Tour, the courses are brutal and they still just tear it apart. So I think you just need to just try and make birdie on every hole, eh? I mean, there's even on the hard holes, you should just, you know, try and birdie it. You almost just can't play defensive anymore.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was going to be a week for South Africa, man. Were you watching your fellow South Africans, so the Louis and Shaw?
No, I wasn't watching, actually. I'm going to watch the highlights today. But I thought they were going to close it. Although Cam Smith is a proper player. Him and Leishman, both.
Do you reckon you could add to the back, man? Do you reckon you could grow a bit of a mullet? Do you reckon you'd suit a mullet?
No, not at all.
Mate, you've got some serious hair on top there. I reckon you could blend that into the Batman. I reckon
it's more Johnny Bravo.
I'm just jealous, mate. I'm just jealous. Can't grow up.
That's funny.
Something as well, because you mentioned going into the final round last week that it was the first time you'd had a lead. And I know Gary Player has been a real influence on you and has sort of taken you under his wing. And I read that you said he'd dropped you a text or you'd had a call with him or something the night before that final round. What did
he sent me a WhatsApp. He just repeated the same thing he's always said to me, but this is kind of the first time it's really mattered in a way. He said, I need to go out there and you never have a lead. You need to think as if you never have a lead and play like you're two behind. You know? And it's the first time I've had a lead. So, you know, I did actually think of that quite a lot throughout the day.
Is it hard to stay in that moment, though? Like Gary said, being, you know, you've got a lead and you're looking at scoreboards around the golf course. You're going, yeah, I know I'm 2-3 in front, but how do I try and flip the switch and say I'm 2 behind? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's not as easy as just saying, just play as if you don't have a lead. Because I like looking at leaderboards. So I knew what was going on, and I like it. Almost takes pressure off knowing what other guys are doing, because sometimes if I don't know what's going on, I get tense and, you know, a little bit, you know, oh, what's going on, you know, because then you're looking at, you know, sort of what's going on instead of having the knowledge of, okay, he's doing this or he's doing that. But I kind of knew if I shoot 7 under, somebody else is going to, someone that's 2 behind is going to have to shoot 9 under just to tie, you know, and it was getting windy. I think the wind helped me a lot because it was hot. No one was going to shoot 9, 10 under. So, yeah.
Gary Player influenced you and helped you? Because obviously he's given you plenty of advice through the years and it's helped you get a very long way very quickly. What have been the key things you picked up from him?
I think just the way he's just the rounds that we've played together, and you know, just you can just see the way he's, you know, been through a lot of things, and you know, he doesn't really have a lot of things going for him. He's short, he's not you know, the rock, he's not that strong, even though he, you know, he works out a lot, you know, but he's, you know, and he doesn't care. He's won, 150 times worldwide, you know. So just the determination and, you know, and it's all the little things he says when we play, and, you know, I learn a lot from those moments, you know, and it just, I don't know, it inspires me a lot.
I know I was going to ask you, Gary. I mean, I know you're being a lefty, right? So
yeah,
you get your inspiration from other lefties or righties, you know, because do you know what? I can do that because I'm a lefty. Do you look at like Mickelson or Bubba and go, yeah,
I've got that for sure. I like it. When it comes to being in bad situations, yes, I think.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, I don't know why, but Phil hits it off the planet. Bubba, you know, shapes it. So yeah. I think when I'm in a bad spot, you know, I kind of think, well, I'm a lefty. I should be able to get this up and down, or I should be able to draw it around this tree, you know.
Yeah, I bet, man. Yeah.
Maybe that's where I'm going wrong. I need to play my, like, recovery shots left-handed, channel a bit of that escapology.
The only reason I said that is that I remember, like, going to Q school when I got my card and, like, went just 2 days before Q school started in America, and I seen Tiger Woods and he was playing with Phil and Freddie Couples and O'Meara. And I came back to the range and I honestly thought I was Tiger Woods. I really did. I believed I could swing it like him. So, you know, like a carbon copy. Like if you were by the side of me being a lefty, you'd have looked at Phil and gone, I can copy that swing, you know, tit for tat all the way through. And I just felt like I did that with Tiger and it helped me massively. And I went and got my card. Yeah. So I just wondered, that was the flip side of it, looking at lefties over righties. Does it suit you right there?
When it comes to the swing, I like right-handers because I can kind of mirror image it in a way. So good I can idea. Kind of look at it and true. Then I just kind of, because it's the same thing, you know. Because they are
quite nice
really
on a range,
a lot of,
quite nice on a range when you sat there.
It is
and,
nice.
You know, you just someone's just right hitting by the side of you right there.
Yeah.
Next one, though, that'd
here's
be
a,
cool.
a funny story. I was at Abu Dhabi this year. I was on the range. And Rory was next to me and I was watching him and then he left and Shane Lowry came and he was like, nah, I don't want to hit balls next to a lefty. I was like,
oh,
well,
wow.
I feel bad now, but I don't know what that is about. I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't like looking at other guys. You know? Maybe it's a strain.
Because you both address the ball at the same time and you're just looking, just look up at each other.
I never knew. My caddy just said, no, Lowry kind of put his stuff down. And then as he hit maybe one ball and looked up, he just kind of left. He just said, he just went to the other side.
I love that. That's so cool.
I felt bad because I don't know.
Mate, don't worry.
Maybe I put him off.
He's
I don't know.
A big boy. He can look after himself. He should.
Yeah, he's all right, mate.
I was looking at your first win as well, Royal Obidos, sort of last summer. You went bogey free in the final round there as well. You've won on the Big Easy Tour, which is kind of the development tour over.
Yeah,
You won the Tour Championship at Sun City on the Sunshine Tour, both the same year you turned pro in 2019. Obviously, you got your breakthrough win European Tour in 2020.
Yeah.
You've got this win now. You're winning them in style as well. You're getting a bit of a reputation as being a bit of a killer under the gun. When you get a sniff of the title, you get your hands on that trophy. Is that something that's always been the case? Are you a good pressure player, do you think?
I think so. I'd say so. I'm very good with it. I think I enjoy it a lot. I think it looks like I'm very serious and kind of calm, but I think inside I really, really enjoy it. Like it's why I don't, for some reason, I don't really, like if... It's maybe not a good thing, but if I'm not really in the event, I struggle to keep going in a way. But it's something I'm trying to work on and kind of figure out how to, you know, be more consistent in that way. But I enjoy when I am on, I'm really on, you know. So I play well because then I'm really having fun and I'm, you know, enjoying the way I'm playing.
This might kind of relate to that then, because obviously you got your breakthrough win last year. Then the back end of 2020 and the start of this year, you went off the boil a little bit. And then you've obviously come through in the last few weeks. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is that just because you weren't getting the starts in tournaments and getting into contention and your mind has switched on because of it?
No, so there was a bit of a technical thing. Last year I was working on something and then I kind of it went well and I kept, you know, when you work on something and you keep working on the same thing, but you've already kind of achieved that thing and that thing you were working on became the issue or becomes the issue.
Oh,
so
wow.
That happened, cool. you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I've done
yeah.
It, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of happened in the beginning of the year where the thing that I was working towards last year and it clicked and then I kept working on the same thing. And it became a bit of an issue. And so now I'm going back, you know, I'm almost trying to do the thing that I didn't want to do.
Yeah, you super drilled it in. You super drilled it in.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to almost do the bad swing because I've spoken to my coach and I had a bit of a chat and everything. And we kind of trying to figure out what my swing is and what works for me. And I think, my results started to get better week by week. And I was saying to him and to Ian and everyone back home that it's feeling like it's, you know, I just felt like I started getting the control back. You know, I knew where I was hitting it. I knew where it was going to start. And I knew what spin was going to be on the ball and all that stuff.
Oh, that's what it's all about, man. Controlling that spin. Yeah. And you just mentioned home. How's the fan, man, and everyone back home? How are they feeling about your win?
Yeah, good. I think they also didn't sleep a lot.
Yeah, I bet they didn't, man. I bet they didn't.
Yeah. No, but they all
up a
very
big
happy.
Bri, and I'm sure they had a few glasses on your behalf. That's for sure.
They did, yeah. I think they had a few, but yeah, they were all very happy. Everyone at my home club, I think a lot of South Africans are happy, which is nice.
Definitely, man.
It's a really tight-knit kind of community, the South African community, isn't it? And you've got...
Yeah.
You're with some really good young prospects coming through as well. Wilco Neal,
yeah.
Jaden Shaper.
Yeah.
What is it like growing up as a young golfer in South Africa with the legends that you can look up to? We've spoken about Gary Player. You've got Ernie Els, Retief Goosen as well, just to name a couple.
Yeah.
Such a strong foundation in the sport over there.
Yeah, I think it's, well, I've really enjoyed it. I think it's a very fun upbringing, you know. It's not very serious, you know. We all wanted to be pros when we were little, obviously, all kids do. We just played events and competed and, you know, every week tried to beat each other, but we never really thought about what that might become, you know. So I think that's maybe why we are good, is because we really enjoy the game and playing against each other, because we play against each other in practice rounds every week, and I've lost a lot of money to a lot of the guys already. As I walked off the green Sunday, I saw Justin Harding,
yeah,
and I was just like, yeah, I can pay your money back now.
I was going to say, what are you going to spend?
Oh, I love it, man.
It sounds like you've got a lot of IOUs that need filling out.
Gareth, I was going to ask you, when did you start playing then, bud? And did you start right-handed? Did you start left-handed? How did it all come about?
Yeah, I think I started when I was very little, like 3 or 4, I got the, you know, the plastic stick.
Snap.
Yeah, and then the plastic ones, you can hit both ways. I think there's no real, I mean, and then I started swinging that left-handed. And then when we went to the States, when I was about 8 or 9, I think 7 or 8, we got me a proper left-handed kit.
Nice.
Kind of when I was about 8 or 9, I really, you know, just got lessons and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Nice, man. Nice.
You mentioned going to the States as a kid. You ended up there for college as well in 2017 and 2018. How
did that
influence things? Were you surprised at the standard of golf in college in America when you got there? And how much has that helped you get to the point where you are at 21 years old now?
Yeah, I don't think it surprised me because we all know how good they are. What did surprise me, or not surprise me, but it was harder than I thought, was how hard their golf courses are, you know, versus the, not that our courses back home aren't hard. You get the few of them, you know, like the Leopard Creek and Fancourt, but it's almost like all the courses we played at college were like US Open tracks and, you know, courses that I never even heard of, you know, but they were like proper, they had lots of history, and it's not like the courses back home where you can just hit it and, if even if you're in the rough, you can probably still go at the flag. So I kind of had to, my course management was put under the test a little bit. I struggled with that, but I think I learned a lot as well. So, yeah.
You're only 21 years old as well. How do you, the journey you've been on in the last 18 months, 2 years, because you know, you're on a very fast trajectory towards sort of superstardom, and you're now going to be getting a very big reputation at home in South Africa, around the world, all of the sort of trappings and trimmings that come along with being an international sportsman.
Yeah.
How have you adapted?
I think, I don't know, I've kind of just decided, like, I'm not big into social media as well. I don't have Instagram on my phone, so... I just want to play golf, you know. I just want to keep getting better. I don't care about all the other things that go with it. So I think that's maybe it'll help me going forward. So yeah,
I think that's a fantastic attitude. You're managed by Ian Keenan. He looks after
you.
And
John, oh, good boy, yeah.
Keeno from back in the day a little bit as well. I think there was a story that you were going to mention, and you started talking about it just before we were recording, but I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
That. So let's put John on the spot here. What have you got to remind him?
See you later. Bye.
Yeah, so we want to ask John a story about a Happy Gilmore incident in Hawaii. That's kind of the two keywords I've been told.
Yeah, well, it was a bit like yourself, Garrett, coming out on tour for the first time, you know, feel a little bit fish out of water, you know, also a little bit starstruck, seeing Ernie Els on the range. And it's not often you get to just hit balls next to Ernie Els. So it was like, I was absolutely flabbergasted and awestruck and never thought I'd ever be able to be in Hawaii for one. Anyway, we're out for a practice round and, you know, all of a sudden the hooter goes that we've got to be off the golf course because the pro-am's about to start. And me and McCaddy, my best mate Lou, were just wandering down the first fairway. And, you know, all of a sudden we look to the first tee box and there's this man, you know, Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore, obviously complete starstruck and like a kid, you know, like a kiddie in a candy store, the bags got dropped and running over like, Mr. Gilmore as well. I didn't say Sandler. I was like just running over. I was just like completely in absolute awe of the guy. He ended up signing like loads of stuff where I still got the ball. This is from like 2000 and what was it? 2001 when the Hawaii Open is. It's right at the start of end of the year. And it's the start of the next year or anything like that. So
yeah,
he signed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam Happy Sandler with a smiley face, good luck. And we got him to sign gloves. He signed about four gloves and he's like looking at me. He's going, "Who are you? Who are you?" I said, "Oh mate, I'm John Morgan, mate. I'm here playing this week, mate. I'm playing on the PGA Tour. I got my card." He went, "I should be having your autograph, mate." I went, nah, mate. I said, "You don't want mine. No one knows me." I said, guy who used to work in a chocolate factory. I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, so he said, "Just give me all this kit," and just but he signed everything for me, and off I was. But mate, it wasn't, you know, until obviously
cool. That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, when you kind of meet, you know, someone famous for the first time, and that was me. And my first one was obviously Adam Sandler. So yeah, that was
wow. That's unreal.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Pretty cool guy to meet, eh?
yeah, mate. He was so nice, man. He had all the time in the world, considering I was pestering him. I felt like an absolute dickhead. And then afterwards, in hindsight, and I thought, but he was still lovely. Give it all back. Bit like when I met Tiger, you know, and Seve, you know, when I started, you know, when you meet them, they live up to what you wanted them to be like. So it's just dreaming. Yeah. You know what I mean? Seven rounds.
Who would be your dream celebrity pro-am partner, Garrick?
Does it have to be an amateur? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go one pro, so like, an amateur, like a random celebrity as well. Who would the pro be?
Oh, pro would obviously be Tiger, wouldn't it? It's got to be. If it's got to be one guy, it's got to be Tiger. Well, tough choice, but... Yeah,
no. Well, you already get to you know, Gary Player and the other South African guys, so you've already got that. So you don't have to choose them as like a dream, because you can play with them.
Yeah, Tiger, and then geez, amateur. Wow, this is a good. This is a tricky one, eh?
It could be like a rugby player, mate. That you haven't got the C yet. It could be like, you know. Could be anyone. Cricket star, could be a film movie star, could be a lovely young lady that's a famous singer that you really fancy. You can just chuck it out there if you want to, man. You never know, you might get a reply.
Yeah. probably a singer, probably some famous rapper or someone, because I'm quite into rap. So maybe 21 Savage Lil Skies or someone like that, but I'm not sure if they even play golf. So
We can get them into it. I like that.
Yeah, song. Yeah.
What's in your playlist at the minute? I like a little bit of rap as well. Probably not quite. That's probably slightly different to yours, but
yeah, it's maybe a little bit different. Polo G just dropped a new album, so his stuff's good.
I'm writing all this down so I can go and listen to it and be like, so I know what I'm listening to.
Rap Star is his new song. That's good. Okay. It's very good. That's my favorite one at the moment.
Very original. Original like rap star.
DMX kind of era from back like 10, 15 years ago. It's never been better.
The new rap's good. The new rap's good.
Oh, no, it's all about Warren G and Nate Dogg and Eminem, man, for me, and Jay-Z and Kanye. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Snoop Dogg.
I love it. Another good statistic to come out of your win. You're now up to 65 in the world rankings. I don't know if you're aware of that, which is awesome.
I heard so, yeah.
And it looks like that's getting you your first major start in the PGA Championship at Kiawa Island in just a few weeks' time as well. How excited are you about that?
Boom!
Unreal. That was a big... Well, it was a goal, especially because I was in the top 100 end of last year. And then I started playing, you know, not so good. You know, it was kind of like I just wanted to get top 100 so I can kind of, and, you know, I knew it was possible. So I knew I needed, you know, a few more good finishes after Austria. Obviously, the win takes care of it. But, yeah, it's going to be unreal. I've heard the course is really nice. That's the one where Rory won, right?
Yeah. And then the War on the Shore Ryder Cup was there as well. Back in the 90s, So do you think that might be a course that suits you pretty well? You get it moving. You're aggressive.
Yeah, I think and I think it's going to be windy as well. I like the wind. So
I was just about to say that, Mucker. Just about to say that. And I was going to say, right in the crest of a wave of confidence as well, coming off a win. You've got to be feeling, loving it, going over to a PGA, your biggest event of your career so far. And it's like, game on. You know what I mean? It's like, I can have this. Ride the wave, man.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm just going to try and handle it like any other events as well. I think that might be a good idea. Not kind of think of it as a big deal.
Do you think you'll get a little phone call from, say, Louis and say, like, I'll see you on the tee on Tuesday for a back
time? Yeah, hopefully. Maybe if he's up for that, I'll happily lose to Louis as well in a practice round. I'll happily lose to anyone in a practice round.
You can up the stakes now that you're a top 2-4 winner.
Yeah, I'll try not to, so I don't go bankrupt. You know?
Learn from John's mistakes. Don't go down the path either. Spend it all.
Charming, isn't it? Charming. But mate, I'm very fortunate. You go that, you know, I get to hang out with like your likes of Tony Johnson. I guarantee they're passing their love straight to Dennis Hutch, you know, Hutchie. And obviously the mighty Dale Hayes. And, you know, you got the, you know, you grew up. I don't know if you got to watch some old footage of these guys like Hobday and any other boys. And you've been
No, not really.
I mean, but they were phenomenal players, man. And I guarantee you, I'm speaking on their behalf. I'm sure they'll want to speak to you in person, but I'm sure they're sending you a big high five, mate, from South Africa.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, mate.
I mean, where do your ambitions lie now? Obviously, you achieved... You appear to be a pretty ambitious guy. You know how good you are. You speak brilliantly about the game. So you wanted to get to these places. But I'm guessing you've maybe got to two-time European Tour winner and perhaps into your first major championship a little bit ahead of where you might have anticipated.
Yeah, for sure.
How do you go about adjusting your expectations now and moving your goals as we move forward?
Yeah, I think, it's all happened very fast. When I turned pro, obviously, my kind of the year I did in the States wasn't good. I didn't play well. So, but I turned pro with the attitude. I turned pro, I was just going to play on the big easy. I managed to get my Sunshine Tour card through the Q School. But then I was going to just play big easy events that year, you know, if I didn't get, cause I was really not playing that great. I started to play better, but I was kind of, the reason why I turned pro was cause I didn't want to try and become, you know, a good amateur in South Africa again, cause I've, you know, done that. So I turned pro, and I just wanted to climb the ladder, you know, I just wanted to, you know, do it all the way from the Big Easy, Sunshine, wherever, you know. I just wanted to play golf. So, and then with the expectations, I think something that I've learned after my first win was that even if it doesn't go well after this, I think I'm going to try and learn a lot, you know, where, you know, I learned a lot from last year as well, because it was a big step up, you know, when I won, you know, I got into all the Rolex Series events and I did well in them as well. But when you win, obviously you expect to win the whole time. So, just, you know, when you don't win, just try. I need to just try and handle it better and kind of learn.
I mean, do you think how realistic do you think there are majors in the horizon? Is that very much in the plan for you? Of course, everyone wants that, but you appear to really have what it takes to get to that sort of level.
For sure. I really believe I can. It's just, there's so many things that need to go your way, even just to win once, you know. There's a lot of luck involved, but also you need to be able to play well. So I think I've got the game. I just need to, again, I think a lot has to do with how many times you play in majors as well. So the experience is a big deal as well. So I think, you know, just getting the experience, you know, playing my first one. And then I don't think it'll happen soon. Hopefully it does. I think I've got the game to do it soon, but wow, it's hard.
It is so hard, mate.
This game is hard, you know.
It's a road you gotta drive on, mate. And it's exactly. Just, you know, keep your firm feet on the ground and just go full steam ahead and ride that wave, man, and just keep riding it.
And I'll be happy. I mean, even if I don't get to win a major ever, I just wanna play and, you know, see how my game goes. So yeah.
Sweet.
Away from the golf course, obviously you're into your rap. For a lot of people listening to this might be the first time they've sort of really heard or seen an interview with you. They know what you, how good you are on the golf course, but tell us a bit about what you like to get up to away from the course and how you relax.
I'm not a big series watcher, although I've been getting into The Crown lately. That's pretty good because I don't really know much about the royals or anything. It was a bit boring at the start, but now I'm getting into it. It's quite interesting. But when I'm back home, I just like to chill, have a braai, and just kind of do a bit of fitness, go jogging, go to the beach, all the usual stuff, you know.
All the good stuff.
That's a great question, though, Hugo, because I've got to ask you. As a youngster coming through, right, the emphasis on working out, probably, you know, we might just want to sit on a couch a little bit longer than normal when you're really young. But then the emphasis when you get on tour and you see everyone working out so extremely hard, how's that differentiate, you know, how's that gone on in your head now? And how have you gone about by structuring yourself and getting fit and strong now, like the best do?
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's a big thing. In December, I actually started working with Garth Mullen. I'm not sure if you know who that is. He's a trainer. He works with Eric Van Rooyen and quite a few other guys. We've been working hard at my fitness and mobility. And he's been coming on tour as well. Obviously, he couldn't come to these, but I think that's helped me a lot. I've gotten a lot stronger. I'm hitting the ball a lot further than I used to. It's obviously everyone is doing that, and you need to hit it far, and you need to be strong. So yeah.
Good man. I wish I persevered. I had Joey who trains Dustin Johnson at the moment, but I didn't go through with it. Should have done. He was training the world number one at the time. It was at Vijay Singh when I took him on, but I didn't listen strong enough. And I wish I did. It's my fault. But it's got to be done, mate. Good. It's got to be done. It's a good thing to do. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
How far do you think you're going to take it? Because obviously you're 21 years old. You might even still have a little bit of growth left in you just naturally anyway, potentially. I'm 34 and I'm still waiting for my final growth spurt. But how far do you take it with Bryson DeChambeau doing what he's doing, but also Rory having taken that path and now looking to turn back a little bit because of how that impacted his swing? Obviously, your game's in a really good place. Are you going to push it a bit further distance-wise, or are you happy where you are at the moment?
Yeah, now I'm happy with where it is. I went to a 48-inch shaft in January. I played Abu Dhabi with that. I was hitting it unreal far. Ball speed average 191. And it was great. I enjoyed that driver. But it was, I then heard they were gonna ban the 48-inch. So I've gone down to the 46-inch driver, and that's made a big difference. Actually, I never thought it was going to make such a big difference, but it made a big difference. But I'm not. I am trying to hit it further. I was working hard at it in December and in the off times, but at tournaments, I don't think of it really because I try and hit the fairways.
It's all about control, so man. It's all about control. Yeah.
Would you pursue that 48-inch driver if it wasn't potentially being banned on the horizon? Do you think there would be a future in it for you? You can hit it straight enough?
100%. I hit it very straight, that driver, I've got it with me, So,
I mean, you come to a big old white golf course, it's no-brainer, isn't it? Just get the 48 out and give it a whammy.
Yeah, and but it's nice. When you get used to it, it's good. I mean, even the 46, it felt long compared to the 45, but I'm used to it now. It just feels like a normal driver.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you could use that driver around Leopard Creek, which is one of my favorite golf courses, man.
Where I wouldn't take the 48 there.
And that was my question, actually. Which is your favorite golf course down in South Africa, mate? Because you have got some absolute pearlers, absolute beauties.
Pearl Valley. Have you heard of Pearl Valley?
Yeah, I have. I've never been there.
Yeah. That's my favorite golf course in South Africa.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to look it up now.
I don't know much about that one.
It's unreal. They had the SA Open there in 2007, I think. They've had it there once, the SA Open. Yeah. But it's like, I think they could literally have a WGC at that golf course.
Wow. Is it that good? Is it?
It's really good.
What's the yardage, man? What's the par of the course?
Off the back, it's probably close to 8,000 yards, I think. Off the back, Yeah.
You need your 48-degree, 48-inch driver. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, it's a proper golf course. Jack Nicklaus design.
Okay.
And it gets seriously windy there. So, yeah, I love that place. It's unreal.
Where is it in South Africa?
It's in between Paul and Stellenbosch. It's like, it's basically in Franschhoek. I'm not sure if you've heard of Franschhoek.
No, I haven't, mate.
That's like the wine central. So Stellenbosch is wine central.
Yeah.
And then Franschhoek is like wine central. Like
the cream de la creme.
Let's get a WGC there. We'll all go drink wine. Happy days.
Yeah, that's a proper golf course there.
So you're also in Tenerife this week. You fancy Francis again, similar kind of test to the one you just took apart the week just gone in Gran Canaria.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's going to be a good test. It's one of the things I'm trying to get better at is keep on playing well, you know. But I think that's something that, you know, the more you play, the longer you've been on tour, it gets easier. Because the last time I won, it was really life-changing. And I think it took a lot out of me. Whereas this time, you know, it's not as life-changing. It's not as different because it's, you know, on the same tour. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, you know. I don't know. I think I can if I play the same. Yeah.
Keep doing what you did last week and you'll take some beating, that's for sure. And so you're doing the two events in Tenerife now the next couple of weeks and then flying over to the States for the PGA. Is that the plan?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'll skip. I think I'll skip the British Masters just because of jet lag.
Sure.
I want to obviously get to the States a little earlier, but yeah.
Does now that's the plan. Into the PGA allow you to play a few more events in America this year? Are you looking to perhaps get some invites on the PGA Tour to gain some experience over there?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I mean, my focus is still Europe and race to Dubai. But when that possibility, you know, when that comes, you know, I'll take it. But I mean, the European Tour has done, you know, so much for me, so I'm going to try and honor them. But obviously when you get to that stage, I'll definitely not say no.
Great to hear. I mean, we're loving seeing you on the European Tour. The joy is only 15 spots higher in the world rankings. You get into the top 50 and you can pick and choose, and it's so much
easier. Yeah, exactly.
On both of the tours, which, you know, is the dream for
that's the big thing. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, whenever we get like a young European guy who's up and coming, we asked them about the Ryder Cup. You know, how much is that on the agenda?
For you, it's all about the President's Cup, Kit. What are you doing?
For a South African, it's the President's Cup. And you know, doesn't quite have the history of the Ryder Cup. But I just wonder, for you as a young South African coming through, how big a deal is the President's Cup? How much do you want to be on those teams in the future and kick some American ass, basically?
Yeah, I'd love to kick some American ass. No, but, you know, growing up, the President's Cup wasn't that big a deal for me, just because, just because it's not a country, I think it was maybe not as easy to get into in a way. But because I played in the Junior President's Cup, it's a big deal for me to make it in the main one. I think that would be unreal. It would be a nice story.
Absolutely. And South African fellow countryman Trevor Immelman is the captain next time around. Have you had brought in his ear at all, mentioned that, you know, there's a couple of wins under your belt, you'd like to be there next time? Any conversation?
Yeah, well, he was my captain in the Junior President's Cup.
So. Perfect. It's meant to be.
Mate, I really loves a good cheeseburger and a nice milkshake, mate. So just dolly him up with one of them when you get over to the Cure Island, mate.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that.
I know I was going to ask you.
I'll make him pay for the burger there.
Oh, mate, he's got millions. Yeah, you let him pay for it, mate. No problem about it. No problem. Double cheese.
No, I want to make the team. Up. I'll do it. I want to make the team. So,
no, mate, you will, man. I mean, it's probably one of those, isn't it? Anything to be a part of the team nowadays, when you join the pro ranks, is not an easy thing to get into. So when you get the chance, you take it, mate. You definitely take it. But sure. I know what I was really wanting to ask you. You're good friends with Justin Walters, Dean Burmester, all the guys that are down there. Mm. And you're a big sponsor. Well, one that you back and you really got your heart behind is Birdies for Rhinos. And I'm proud of that, man, because I love all that and what you do. And you made 29 birdies. Is that right?
I think it was. Yeah. A lot of birdies.
That's a lot of money.
So that's got you up the tally now. That's seriously got you up the tally, man, for Birdies for Rhinos.
Good. Keep climbing the leaderboard. Yeah, it's a nice thing that I think I don't know when I joined. I think it was start of last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Ian Keenan said to me, "Do you want to join that?" I was like, you know, I said yes straight away. I think it's awesome. I think Burmy and Walters started it.
That's right.
So yeah, it's awesome because I mean it is quite a big issue, the poaching in South Africa.
Yeah, it is, man. It's a beautiful country, but it's got its when it comes to that, it's not very good, is it? It's
not very good. So hopefully, I mean, if we can make a difference, that's awesome. But I think it's more raising awareness for the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, have you got any side bets going on with any other players, mate, with the Birdies for Rhinos? Like, who's going to make more this season? You must have a little.
No, pop. Not yet. Like, that's a good idea, though. But like 50. That's a good. I think I'm going to do it. Yeah.
The ones you've got in the bank already, I'd definitely be. Obviously, everything up to now is included as well, and get.
Yeah. I'm not going to jinx myself. No.
We had Justin on, and we spoke at length about Birdies for Rhinos and everything that you've done and conservation in South Africa, being a proud South African. How much do you love that's going on to save the rhinos and just the natural habitat and incredible open spaces and bush that you have and presumably got to experience growing up when you were a kid as well? I mean, I've never been on a safari.
And really?
No, I've never been to South Africa and I want to go.
He's asking for an invite. For an invite.
Yeah,
it's right on my bucket list that I'm obviously you grew up in that environment and you got to experience it firsthand. That must just be such a special thing to be from South Africa and have to have seen that.
Yeah, I think we all the South Africans definitely take it for granted. You know, we kind of grow up and thinking that's how it is in the whole world. You know, it's just a rhino and there's a lion. You know, when we were little, like, you know, it's not a big deal, is it? But now, you know, going to the parks and everything, you can see how, you know, it's special, you know, when you see those animals and how incredible they are. So we want to kind of take care of them. And also it brings tourists, you know, our country needs a bit of loot, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Most when you're away from South Africa.
What's that?
What do you miss most when you're away from South Africa?
The food and the people. Yeah, the food, the a braai with all the mates.
I like that. What's your favorite cut of meat to have on the braai?
It's gotta be boerewors. I'm not sure if you know. It's just sausage. It's a South African sausage. Yeah,
it's lovely, man.
Yeah, boerewors with some lamb chops, steak, ribs. Everything.
All of the meat, basically.
Yeah. My mouth is watering, man. Oh man, shut up.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry now. You guys are causing an issue.
Sorry, dude. We'll let you go.
Phone room service right away.
Exactly. Yeah. Get straight on it. Have you got a braai? Can we get that happening?
Yeah. Yeah. Bring it to the room now.
Yeah. Am I allowed to light a barbecue in my room?
Yeah. I'm not going to smoke, but I just need to have a braai.
Garrick.
I know what I was going to ask you, Garrick. Sorry, Kit. I just want to ask you, how well run was Gran Canaria? You know, on the European tour, because it's not an easy time at the moment. I just wanted to see how it was all run, because I think they're doing a great job. European tour,
yeah. The European tour is doing a phenomenal job. I mean, if it wasn't for the co-sanction event last year, I wouldn't have been on the European tour this fast, you know. And
yeah,
they've helped us get here. Last year, I mean, I got out of the country on a repatriation flight to Austria. I mean, I'm a South African. I shouldn't even be able to go on a repatriation flight anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So they helped me get out of the country. They've helped me, you know. I don't know. It's the Sunshine Tour and the European Tour has been a big part of all of my success. So yeah, they've done really, really well.
Incredible.
Well said, buddy.
I mean, the talent that has come through there, come out of South Africa, what the Sunshine Tour are doing as well. You've got the three events we're in the middle of at the moment, the co-sanction between the Sunshine Tour and the Challenge Tour.
Yeah.
We've just had the first one, the Limpopo Championship. There's two more to come. How big is it for golf in South Africa to have such a strong home tour and that route onto the European Tour from it as well?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I came back from the States, you know, is because, you know, South Africa is such a nice place for golf. Our weather is so good. If you have your coach, you've got your support structure, because we all know how important that is for your game, and to get better, you need to be happy and all that stuff. And then, you know, we can kind of, when it's our winter, come to Europe and play, you know, in your summer. And then when it's winter here, we go back home and we've got a strong tour. Mm-hmm. And obviously with the co-sanctioned events, the Challenge Tour ones, that's great. But the European Tour ones, I think, is the one that makes the biggest difference. Because, you know, like Donnie, even though it wasn't a co-sanctioned event, you know, got the invite into Kenya and won. I mean, that's life-changing for him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every time somebody wins a co-sanctioned event in South Africa, it's massive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well said, man. Well done, Gary.
You've taken advantage of that opportunity and then some over these last sort of 12 months. It's been great to see your progression. And yeah, what a week it was last week in Gran Canaria.
Thank you.
I'm hoping for the same this week, because I'm not going to lie, Gary, I'm putting you in my fantasy team. So no pressure. but you're in my fantasy team. I know a few people that won a nice bit of money on you last week as well, and had you doubled up with Cam Smith and Mark Leishman as well. So there's a lot of
people.
Very happy to see you winning,
good.
Us included.
I was happy as well. So,
well done, man. Just keep it real, Gak. Keep it real, buddy. And I'll see you on the winner's circle again, I'm sure. Well done, bud.
Thank you for jumping off with us the week after.
Perfect.
Thank you, as always, John. Thank you to everyone for listening as well. If you have enjoyed what you've listened to, please leave reviews, like, 5 stars. Go back and check some of our older episodes as well. We've spoken to loads of great people. That's all we've got time for this week. And from the Filthy Lip Out, we will see you next time.